On today's Church TechCast Q&A, compressing QuickTime files, live streaming providers, and a whole lot of ProPresenter questions. Hi everyone, and welcome again to another episode of the Church TechCast Q&A Show. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So if you could head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. There you'll find all my contact information, including the voicemail number 1-877-POD-ECHO or 1-877-763-3246, my email address paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, my Twitter handle, Paul Allen Cliff, spelled the shortest possible way, PaulAllanClif. Or you could just leave a comment there, quite frankly. Any of those will do it, and you'll be able to get in touch with me. So let me first talk about just a couple of quick things. And the first of those is that this show is sponsored in part by people like you. Thanks very much for sponsoring the ChurchTechCast.com network, and more specifically the ChurchTechCast.com Q&A show, by heading over to patreon.com/paulallencliff. That's patreon.com/paulallencliff. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help make these shows a possibility. And I know that a dollar doesn't seem like a lot, but if everyone that followed these shows, if everyone that thinks that what I do is a great thing, if everyone were to join me and just give a dollar, just a dollar, if we had 100% participation at $1 a month, I know that this is impossible. I know that it's an impossible dream, but a buck is just so little money that I really think that it's something worth aiming for. So if we could just get everyone to go over there, throw a buck my way, then let me tell you some of the things that we could do. I would have a proper studio with proper equipment. I'd have more experts in to do more shows, and anything that you could imagine as a church technical problem, we could solve. And we could do all this for just as a result of people supporting at just a dollar a month. Now, if you've got more money and want to throw $5, $10, $100 a month, bless you. But I don't want anyone to feel like you're compelled to do this. I just think it would be great if we could form a network. Basically, if you could partner with me to form a network that is supported by the people that benefit from the information, something along the lines of Revision 3 or something along the lines of Twit, all that is possible. So we just have to get the resources together to do it. Right now I'm doing 5 shows a week. I'd love to do a show every hour of the day, 7 days a week. I think that is possible. That's something that would be great, and it's something that is not outside of the realm of possibility for very little money. So head on over if you want to support that, and if that vision seems incredible and something that you'd love to be a part of. Also, I want to remind you that my pastor's book is coming out on in the very first few days of May. So that's less than a month away. So this is one of your last chances to get it from Amazon at the discounted price. And I think that you will be so happy that you did once you see just the popularity that this book is going to get. We've already seen a big swelling of people buying it on pre-order. So it's probably not going to be this inexpensive ever again. And this book is all about chasing your dreams, doing what God made you to do, and it's forwarded by Bill Hybels and published by Tyndale House. So this is not just a 5-page ebook that you get for giving someone your email address. This is a legit book that you'll be hearing things about, and I get to be one of the first people to tell you about it. So head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlifebook, and that should take you directly to the Amazon link. If it doesn't, just drop book off the end, go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlife, and you can click the link that shows up, and that'll take you there. So either way, it'll take you there, and you'll be able to pre-order it, and I think you'll be happy that you did. Every piece of content I've seen out of this so far, it has just been phenomenal. So don't say I didn't tell you about it. Okay, so we've got a few questions that I've culled from some of the communities that I've been a part of, and someone sent me one. Let me actually start with that. My friend Daniel, who is actually the morning director at a local television station, was asking about ProPresenter. There are actually a few questions about ProPresenter, and he said he was having a problem where when they import slides into ProPresenter, they get not only the folder the slides are in, but every subfolder that's in that folder. So if they have, like, this week or the current slides, and then inside the current slides there's an archive, they also get the archive, which that can get ungainly if the archive just keeps building. So, Daniel, here's what I would do. What I would do is, when you open that, instead of opening the folder and importing the entire folder, or clicking on the first item, holding down shift, and clicking on the last item, I would click on the first item, hold down shift, and click on the last item, and then hold down command on the Mac. I think you're using a Mac since you're part of the streaming ministry at my church. Hold down command, and then click on each of the folders to deselect them, each of the subfolders, and then just import it that way. I think that that'll solve your problem. Brent Haig over in Church Tech Leaders says, does anyone know if there's a way to loop a video, pre-show video, until a certain time on the clock, like 5 o'clock, and then go to a different static or black slide using ProPresenter 5? Initially, the only thing I could think of was to basically know, okay, I'm going to start this a half an hour before the service. I'll start it at 4:30. And it's set to loop so many times so that it ends at 4:30, and the very last version of it has the go to next timer that goes to the next one. That was my initial thought. But Andy Seal suggested another way, and this is brilliant, so I thought that I would give him credit. Good job, Andy, and that I would also mention it to anyone else who wants to do something similar. Andy says, you can use Apple Automator to fire off system events. You could assign an event to a time and assign a key to a slide and have Automator press, quote-unquote, press that key and fire the slide. I have several Mac Minis that are acting like digital signage players. I have a script set to return them to playing state and to go full screen in case of power failure. PM if you need more info. This is brilliant. Brilliant. So I just wanted to give him credit and suggest it to anyone that wants to do this. I think that that's something that a lot of people could do, is they could have their pre-service loop going and have a slide outside of the loop that it goes to that slide, which is maybe a background for worship or whatever, when service starts. So you don't have to, if you get tied up, no problem. It just happens at the same time that the music starts. And that is cool. You just have to make sure that it's the foreground event, because, you know, if you type, let's say it's slide 3, just out of the blue. Maybe because of the Trinity, I don't know. But let's say that it's slide 3. And you take slide 3 and you set it up to type 3, enter. That's not going to work if you've got a web browser up. That's not going to work if you've got Microsoft Word up. So you need to make sure ProPresenter is in the foreground. But other than that, I see no reason why that wouldn't work. I'd have to test it just to make sure, but I think that would work fine. So, live streaming providers. Ryan Bartlemaine, again over on Church Tech Leaders. There was a topic about a year ago on this subject. I wanted to start a new one to get some conversation going. I'm currently using the new live stream to stream our church services. We're looking to potentially make a switch for a couple of reasons. First, we've had several issues over a relatively short amount of time. I don't believe all of them were all live stream's fault, but it's been enough that I'm at least interested in looking into other providers. Second, we're interested in using Church Online Platform, churchonlineplatform.com, to create more of an online campus experience. To do this, we'll need the ability to embed our live stream. This is possible with live stream, but comes at a $399 per month price tag. While I'm not opposed to that price, if it's going to be that best service I can get, I'm interested in other options at this point. So some companies I've looked at have been churchstreaming.tv, StreamMonkey, lightcastmedia.com. I'm interested in hearing if anyone has experience with these providers, especially if you've dealt with more than one, any positives or negatives. They all have free trials available, but because I already stream to live stream, I don't want to rush into making a change because we already have a viewer base at the present site. Oh, that's a problem. Now I see a problem. Anyway, sorry. I'd hate to push a change only to have to push another change. So I just want to at least get as much input as I can. And please, if you have any suggestions beyond the three companies I've mentioned, or you have an argument for sticking with Livestream, I'd love to hear about that as well. Okay, first thing, I use churchstreaming.tv for the Church TechCast Network, and their customer support is second to none. In fact, if you're watching this live on Friday, April 4th, 2014, you're not watching this live. You may think you're watching it live, but in fact, you're watching something that I've recorded the night before because I'm going to be away from the studio during that time. I've got a freelance thing I have to do, much to my chagrin. Anyway, so that's one of the great features is if you want to do a pre-recorded program, let's say you want to redo the morning service 12 hours later for the other side of the world, no problem, you can do that. So they have all kinds of cool features like that. I've also used worship channels, found them to be very accommodating. In fact, that's where I started. YouTube live events, while from a technological standpoint they seem to work fine, I'm a bit concerned. First, based on what you talked about with the embedding. Embedding with YouTube live events isn't the best. It's per event, not per type of event, which is less than what you want. But the other problem is customer service, quite frankly. Now, they've got all kinds of Python scripts, all kinds of help files and everything, but for churches who get a license to stream, there's a problem in that there's nobody to say, hey, customer service person, can I talk to your boss? Because we have a license to stream. Here's our license. Can you please put us on the white list not to get copyright notices every single week that we have to dispute? So that's something that I am concerned about from that standpoint. the fact that Livestream doesn't let you embed, I would get off of that immediately. I think that I would make sure that I had plenty of warning. Maybe if you were using Wirecast, you could stream to both for a while. Always announcing that you're getting ready to leave Livestream, because I think I would want my Livestream embedded on a site that the church owns. If Livestream goes out of business tomorrow, I don't think they're going to, by the way, but let's say they did, or they decided to change their terms of service, or they bumped up the price, or whatever, where you had to leave, then you'd have a problem, wouldn't you? Because everyone knows to go to the Livestream site, not your site. It's much better to have your stream on a site you control, which I think you're trying to move to, but it's bad that you ever had this problem to deal with. Tomorrow I could change providers no problem, because I send people to churchtechcast.com and I just change the embed and I'd be done. So I think that's a problem that you need to overcome. Okay, understand. Now let's continue on. Best software to compress QuickTime files. This is from Mike Hoffman over on Church Tech Leaders again. Can Adobe Encoder compress QuickTime files? If not, can someone please recommend a good free compression software? Thanks. I believe it can. But you haven't said what your goal in this compression is. Sometimes when people say compression, what they mean is transcoding. Sometimes when they say compression, what they mean is changing the resolution. Sometimes what they mean is making the file as small as possible. Sometimes what they mean is going from one codec to another. So maybe you've got a ProRes 4444, but you need an H.264. Depending on what you do, different software is going to work for you. I use MPEG StreamClip a lot. I use Handbrake a lot. I use QuickTime 7, not the Pro version, just the regular version a lot, and Compressor at least weekly. So it just depends on what I'm trying to use that for. I think the Compressor and Adobe Encoder, I'm assuming we're not talking about Adobe Flash Media Live Encoder, which is a live encoding software. I think we're talking about a compression utility. I haven't used it, quite frankly, so I'm not as familiar with that particular piece of software. But I think that it is like Compressor, and it should do it fine, assuming that I'm understanding the question. So that's what I wrote him. Bill Allmack, over on the Church Tech board on Google Plus, asks, I've been looking at ProPresenter 2. This was in reaction to someone talking about having ProPresenter. I have a question. We do the announcement loop thing, which ProPresenter supports, but then during announcements, like to put up that slide from the announcement loop without it starting through the loop. Is that possible? Didn't see anything about that in the videos on their site. Thanks. So I created a screencast for him that's over in my ProPresenter 5 tutorials, which you can get to bit.ly/pro5tuts, T-U-T-S, all lowercase, all one word. So bit.ly/pro5tuts. That will take you there. One of those is about his exact question. Basically, there are two ways to do it. You can create an announcement item in the list, which has slides that you're going to use only for announcements that don't have the Go to Next timer on them. He didn't like the redundancy of that. I like it because I like to duplicate my rundown exactly in ProPresenter, but, you know, to each his own. So the other thing is, if you import them as backgrounds, then you can just have the background open, the background chooser thing on the bottom open all the time, and just if at any time someone mentions the Easter egg hunt, you can click on the Easter egg hunt slide without going to something different. So that's another and probably more like what he had in mind way of doing it. Again, Bill asks, I probably need to download the demo and play around with it, but one thing I've noticed in many video demos, they only have a few motion backgrounds. I have a lot of them. With only one row visible down at the bottom, this looks like it would be hard to manage a large library. So, again, I recorded a screencast. Turns out you don't have to stick to one row visible. You could have several rows visible. You can change the size of the thumbnails. And something I didn't know until I started playing around with it, because I've never frankly needed it, was that you can also make folders and subfolders. So if you make a folder and you import your backgrounds into that folder, it will put it in the general backgrounds section or just that folder. So you could have a folder that's like all abstract video, and a subset of that is bokehs, and then a subset of that is waves, and a subset of, and another subset is particles, for example. Or you could have it by color. These are all the blues, these are all the reds, these are all the pinks, etc. And they would all also show up in the main background. And then you have a search function where you can search by name, you can order it by index, order it by file type, order it by date added, etc. So those are all ways to organize these files, and I think you'll find that it works for you really, really well. So, next, Marvin Cruz asks, again, this is all in the Church Tech Leaders, is there a way to broadcast slides, i.e. sermon notes versus graphic illustrations, etc., not necessarily PowerPoint slides, via internet or local network to congregation who uses iOS and Android devices? I think Proclaim somehow does it, but I'm currently saving up for ProPresenter. ProPresenter has an iPhone app that would work perfectly for this. It's not free, but it works. But Marvin tells me that most people have Android phones, so that makes it harder. I'd initially thought about VPN, but he could also send this over the internet using YouTube's live events and just send the slides. Now, there's going to be some latency, but that might be okay, and it'll be cross-platform, so if someone shows up with a BlackBerry or a Windows phone, assuming that they're capable of viewing live streaming video, they could see that. So that would be a way around that problem. Over on churchmedia.net, Coach asks, we are installing a new projection system in our church building. Because of the architecture, it is extremely difficult to find a satisfying location. I have attached two pictures of two different scenarios. Any suggestions? Facts. Stage depth 25 feet. Proposed center screen 180 inches diagonal, 75 feet from back row to the back of the stage. 50 feet from side screen placement to the back row. Proposed side screens are 120 inches diagonal. Thank you. So, off the top of my head, I can't remember the formula, but looking at the pictures, those didn't look all that... they didn't look big enough to me. Now, that's just looking at the pictures, and I didn't do the math, so I could be wrong. But I do know that one thing you should consider, because you want to picture his church as a very traditional church with a very pointy roof, it's all, the ceiling's all open, so it's pointy, and he's got two side locations where he could put screens, and those don't seem horrid as long as they're big enough, but he was going to put the big one towards the back of the screen, back of the stage, and I don't think that that's necessarily the best option. What you could do is you could put a curtain at the apex, kind of, if you can imagine making that into a triangle where the bottom of the curtain is flat and the two sides of the roof come up so that you have this curtain covering up this area, and behind that curtain you put the motorized screen. You can have a motorized screen created with extra black on the top so that it can lower much farther, and you could get it into a much lower location than maybe you're thinking. So that's the way that we did it at Asbury Seminary in the chapel when I was there. And it looked great, and then we could make the screen go away for like weddings and such, times when you wouldn't use screens as much, and it was just great. So that's what I'd recommend as an idea. I don't like sticking it all the way on the back of the stage. I think you want it closer. So that's just my two cents on that. And I don't think that I would want the center screen to be bigger than two side screens. And I think 25 feet more distance, those, is it 120 inches and 180 inches, those 60 inches, which that's 5 feet. It should be bigger, but the pictures didn't look like it was. So that's basically what I would suggest. Okay. Next, Flick, F-L-I-C, which I bet is like a church. Yeah, it's in Florida, so the FL is probably Florida, like Florida Independent Church or something. Again, on churchmedia.net, asks, iPad control? Hello, if this has been discussed before, I do apologize in advance. Doing a quick Google search, I did find some 2011 commentary, also finding a YouTube link, which I am unable to post yet. Forum rules suggesting that it can be done. Has there been any progress on this? Our church is looking for projection software, and having easy worship remotely controlled by an iPad would be a plus. Thank you for your insight, Pete. So, here's a technical problem. The latest version of Easy Worship is Easy Worship 2009. And that's year number. They don't update as often. I think they only have one programmer working on it, so it's a big deal for their updates. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but just keep that in mind when I say that the iPad was released in 2010. So software created in 2009 isn't going to support hardware created in 2010. Just, it was all rumor at that point. And no one thought that they'd actually release a tablet. Microsoft had been doing those for years. No one bought them. Everyone knows you don't like tablets. Until the iPad. So I think that is going to be a limitation. With that said, you could do remote desktop, VPN, something like that, and control it that way. It's not going to be as good as an app created for that purpose. So that's what I would suggest. ProPresenter has one. Proclaim has one, I believe. A lot of worship software that's released more recently have remote applications, but I don't believe Easy Worship does. So, Rich Design asks, hard time getting used to. So we switched from ProPresenter to, or from Easy Worship to ProPresenter 5 a few weeks ago. Mostly it has gone fine and have not looked back much. One thing I'm having a hard time getting used to in ProPresenter 5, I wonder if I'm misunderstanding something about the interface, is this. Easy Worship was very good about letting you do just about anything in the software, and the output was rock solid. So if you had a pre-service loop going in the live output, you could be getting songs ready or whatever you needed to do in the preview side. And you could see how they were going to look in the preview window. In ProPresenter 5, you can get songs ready and use the editor, but once you leave the editor, you can't click on anything in your playlist without it going live, at least as far as I can tell. Let me know if I'm missing something. You can turn off the output, making sure there isn't anything on the desktop behind, and we often go to black on the switcher, but I just want to keep the loop to keep running. I find it hard to do. Tell me if I'm missing something. Yeah, so with ProPresenter 5, you can absolutely look at stuff. If you're looking at the regular editor, you're right, you might have some difficulty, but you might think about looking at the, not the regular editor, but the quick edit. So all your thumbnails should be formatting-wise what you'll see on the back screen. Now, you won't see the same background. It'll be black with your foreground text, but you should see it. Now, if you can change the size of the thumbnails, if that helps, or you can right-click and choose Quick Edit. When you choose Quick Edit, excuse me, as I said, it's about 11:20 p.m. on Thursday, even though this is actually probably just shy of 11 hours from now, this will be playing live. So, anyway, so if you choose Quick Edit, you can tweak things and you'll get a bigger view. So I think that might actually help you a little bit, but you're right, there isn't like a preview program kind of thing. That's one thing I did like about Easy Worship, and why we went to it is I felt that it was a more professional solution. But then later on, because this was back in 2004, 2005, it lacked some power features that I needed, like alpha channels and just the ability to get text to work right. So it was Easy Worship. It wasn't Easy Sermon Slides, and the sermon slides problem was what eventually pushed us over the top towards First Live Worship, which frankly wasn't a good choice. I didn't make it. And then ProPresenter, which was, and was what I initially recommended. So, I think you're right on that. So, those are our questions right now. If anyone has any questions or comments, as I say, head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and you'll find our contact information there. You'll be able to leave a question, a comment, a snide remark, what have you. And I would be happy to answer those next week. So I hope that all those answer some of your questions. And until next time, go out and change eternity. This is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.